In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Ben Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Doran Dickerson, Mark Cabali, Nicholas Harry Callis behind the glass. Callis, how you doing? I'd like to check in with you to see how you're doing, just seeing if you're doing okay back there.
I'm feeling all right.
You're doing all right?
Yeah.
You told me whenever we were getting a drink that you're not a big fan of year-round, especially summer football talk. You just like in-season football talk.
Correct. Yeah, I like absorbing baseball season when it's here.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes.
You're just anti-American then.
Correct? No, it's, doesn't mean...
That's all we do is talk about football. Anti-Pittsburgh, anti-American.
I'm listening to you, aren't I, Mark? I'm listening to the show.
You're just not a fan of it.
Right. That's all.
The problem is Harry, there's been... 45 years of losing in baseball, so we've been pretty much programmed to talk about other stuff.
You're really just diving deep into this, yeah. It's just small talk, you know.
Wait till you be talking, maybe you be talking about the Pirates when the Penguins season, because the Penguins will be so bad.
Probably.
Yeah, but I like baseball the most. Football and baseball are my two favorite sports, so.
So what did you, over your 25-odd years of on this planet, and they've only won like twice and haven't won a playoff series, is that painful?
Yeah, it's painful to me. Yeah, I want to see them win.
So what do you do in August and September when they're 30 games out over?
Well,
the
that's when we talk about football, because camp's full-fledged,
he
preseason
says,
games.
Yeah, it's not, it, right now, it's, there's too many things going on in the Pirate world. That
you should have a new segment. Get to know Harry Callis.
Right.
Ask him like 5 questions a day.
You were you played football, too.
I did for a few years.
Hmm. It's interesting.
And Mason Miller struck him out at Waynesburg.
That's right. Did you ever get a hit off him?
Everybody knows I played baseball.
Did you ever get a hit off him?
Football.
Did you ever get a hit off him? Mason Miller?
No.
Did you ever touch the ball?
I did. I fouled it off. I only had one at bat against him, and I fouled off a slider.
I think he remembers this.
Probably not. I mean, it was...
If we say Harry Callis, you think Mason Miller would know who that is?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right.
I talked to him once before he played the Pirates.
Weren't you going to have him on, and then the PM team kind of stole him?
No, it was the other way around. I tried to steal him from them because that's kind of what we were doing back then, you know, in May. And he was like, West Coast time. So he
that's right.
The latest he would have come on would have been like 6 o'clock West Coast time. So.
That's right. That's right. Mark, PFF came out with their rankings of defensive linemen. I don't know if you've seen that, but I know that you love PFF, so we're going to talk about it.
Absolutely. Especially their rankings.
Their rankings, yes. TJ Watt, do you know what he was ranked?
I'm just wondering why he's ranked amongst defensive linemen, but go ahead.
Right. I had the question. I was questioning that too, but he was ranked against the as a defensive lineman. He was ranked 6.
I did not see it, but I can just imagine who's ahead of him. I mean, are we talking Myles Garrett, Joey Bosa type guys, or are we just talking about defense? I just don't know when you list T.J. Watt as the defensive lineman, who you're competing with.
You're competing with Myles Garrett as one.
Yeah, who's not a defensive lineman? Okay.
Micah Parsons.
Who's not a defensive lineman?
Chris Jones.
Okay, he is a defensive lineman.
Nick Bosa.
Okay.
And Dexter Lawrence.
Man, that just doesn't make any sense to me, because you got 3 guys right there that play a totally different position with Lawrence and Chris Jones and who else? Somebody else you mentioned. There's 2 or 3 guys that play a total different position than T.J. Watt, so how can you potentially lump them all into a defensive lineman?
If you're thinking of 4-3... defense, they would be defensive linemen, right?
But they're not. Yeah. I mean, Myles Garrett isn't.
Right.
T.J. Watt isn't.
But why does he get so much disrespect, though?
Watt. Probably because of the name.
You think?
Probably.
I mean, I feel like every time we look around, like, he's never number one.
We've heard 15 years of Watts, you know, going back to his brother. I'm sure that has something to do with it, the overload of the T.J. Watt. But out of all those guys, I mean, if there's one guy that I want on my team that, you know how you say, if you want one guy here to win this game, who are you taking the shot? If there's one guy that needs to have a big play in the late in the game, I'm taking T.J. Watt.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't understand the disrespect, but I mean, the theory that you put out there about his name and his brother, like, that is valid, but I just, mm-hmm. how can you put that together? Like, how can you think that'd be okay? Like,
I mean, he very well could have been 3-time defensive MVP. I mean, that wasn't out of the case of realm of possibility here, although they gave it to Garrett and they gave it to, I forget who else they gave it to. Oh, was it Aaron Donald? No, I don't know.
Maybe it was Aaron Donald.
But, yeah, I don't know. Maybe we'll read too much into it. Maybe they know the Steelers fans are so passionate that if we put him at number 6, we'll start a stir and we'll get more eyeballs on our product. It could be something weird like that.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. What position are you looking forward to in training camp? So, like, if I start this conversation, and I think that this unit has been bolstered in a way that it hasn't been in a long time. It's middle linebacker. It's off-ball linebacker. Yeah. Thinking of Patrick Queen, obviously, Landon Roberts. Yeah. If Cole Holcomb comes back at some point, that's just an added bonus. But also Peyton Wilson that you drafted. Like, if I think of one unit on this team that I think that is going to be a significant component to the Steelers and what they want to do this year, linebacker, they haven't had somebody since, obviously, Shazier. And it's been a long time that they've had a sturdy lineup at that position and guys that can rotate in and out.
Yeah, I mean, they've upgraded that significantly over the past couple of years. I mean, it took them 7-8 years to be able to do that. I mean, a lot of people have question marks surrounding Patrick Queen if he was just a product of where he was in Baltimore and who was next to him in Baltimore. But I don't see that. I see the guy as a guy who's going to bring a lot to this team. And you got to throw in even a guy like they just signed Matakevich. Okay, he's a special teams guy. But Peyton Wilson, obviously another one. You don't know what you're going to get from him early on. I wouldn't expect much. Mm-hmm. And Mark Robinson, here's another guy that he was like a guy that had a ton of upside like 2 years ago and just didn't really put it together last year. So it is definitely probably the most upgraded position on the roster from last year would be inside linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a reason why they did it. I mean, they must have felt that was the need. I mean, there's not many times you go through any roster, Doran, and see stars at every level and I mean, you're looking, obviously, Hayward. I still think he's an elite player. Sorry. You can call me a fool. But then you got Minka, you got Queen, you got Watt, you got Highsmith, you got Porter. You just got – that's the reason why they cost $160 million, too. So I like their inside linebackers. I think that will be a huge upgrade over what they can do defensively. But there's a couple other positions as well that, you know, you look at.
Pay attention, Brian. Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Speaking of Hayward, have you heard anything on that front? Do you know if there's going to be a deal done? Is he going to report to training camp? Is he going to participate in training camp? Is he going to hold out?
Well, there's no way he's holding out. There's no way he's not reporting.
Mm-hmm.
I've been pretty sturdy with saying they're going to eventually sign him before the season's up. Somehow, some way, something's going to happen, and they're going to be able to get him under contract for if it's an extra year or two. I mean, I just think they're just trying to see who plays chicken.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, honestly, I think that's the way it is. Let's see if we wait long enough, maybe Cam will take a little less. He'll have a little less demands he'll be willing to do. Maybe Cam waits to the end there and say, hey, okay, I'll take a little bit less. I think that eventually will get done. So, I think it's going to be hard to tell if he does a hold-in, right? He's, 7 months removed from surgery, 10 months removed from 2 surgeries. They're going to play it slow with him. Now, if he goes out there and does individual work, then doesn't do team work, then they'll just say, well, we're just bringing him along slowly. But he might just be saying, I'm not doing this. Mm-hmm. So you have to keep an eye on that to see how much legitimate snaps he gets. But no, he can. I think he'll be out there. He'll be out there, he'll be ready to go, and he probably won't talk about it. And he's be ready for the season.
Don't they really need him, though? Like, that's what I think that people are missing. Like, I know that this is a situation where Cam wants more money, but in a sense, I feel like Cam has the upper hand because who else are they going to turn to in the defensive lineman? I mean, they're pretty thin.
Yeah, I mean, they figure Benton's going to be a star this year, or at least better than he was last year. But I just don't get the thought of many out there to believe that he's done, he's old, he can't play anymore, he's not worth this money. Maybe he's not worth $16 million. Maybe he's not worth money that the Packers just gave to Kenny Clark or anything like that. But this is still a legitimate top-level, top-five defensive lineman, interior defensive lineman in my book who can still play. Just because he had some injuries last year doesn't mean the guy can't play anymore. That's my thought. I mean, okay, he might get hurt again. Yeah, he might not either.
Mm-hmm.
They need him. I think he still has years left in him. I think he's critical of what they want to do on defense. I just don't know where this comes at. Well, he's done. He's old. He's breaking down.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, one season. I mean, he tore his pec, what, 5-6 years ago, and he had no ill effects after that. He's been pretty much healthy in his entire career through high school and college. Just because he had one injury here, I think a lot of people are being a little bit too tough on the guy. I think he will have a bounce back and very good season.
Coming up next, there is one training camp battle that I am very interested in seeing or hearing about that happened last year, and I'm interested to see what level it is at this year. But the question about that is who is a sure thing out of that battle? Who's an absolute sure thing out of the two guys that will be battling in about a week from now in Steelers training?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Thank you. Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection. Dickerson, Cabali, Callis here with you on the Fan Morning Show at 9 a.m. Jordy Mercer, obviously former Pirate, will join the show, and Dan Zangrilli at 9:30. There's a training camp battle that I want to pay attention to. Mark, you will be there, so I'll be texting you while you're watching this go on. But last year, everybody was enamored by Joey Porter Jr. and George Pickens in one-on-one drills, and it was exciting. I mean, it circulated through NFL Network. It circulated through ESPN, all the big outlets. Look at these two young players going against each other. You know, Joey Porter Jr. going into his second year. George Pickens, you know, being, I guess, as we stand right now, the number one receiver for the Pittsburgh Steelers. But my question to you is, which one of those guys is a sure thing? Like, is Joey Porter Jr. really a sure thing right now, or is he just the best that they have? Like, do you think of Joey Porter Jr. in the realm of being one of the top corners in the NFL right now?
I think so.
Yeah.
Because I think last year, obviously, he was getting used to the game. He has the size. He has the speed. He has the ability. He can hit. I mean, well, he can tackle, and he learned that through halfway through the season. But this year, you notice, at least in OTAs and minicamp, now he got that swag, that confidence that's come with it in the second year. And that will do nothing but help him right now. And it helped him a ton last year, Dorn, going against George Pickens, because by week 4 or 5, maybe even later than that, 6 or 7, he's like, I want DeAndre Hopkins. He went to follow the – you know, travel with guys rest of the season, and that doesn't happen unless he gets, you know, George Pickens in the offseason. I think Joey Porter is a guy that's he by the end of the season, he could be up there. It's hard to say because Sauce, it comes, you want to put him with names like Sauce Gardner, mm-hmm, and guys like that, but you have to have the interceptions to go along with it. If he has a string of interception games, if he gets 5 or 6 interceptions, I think he's a top 5. I think he will be, right now, maybe a top 10 quarterback. And like, I do have a lot of confidence in him.
What about Pickens? How far away is Pickens to the confidence you have with Joey Porter Jr.?
Whew. Pickens being able to do what he needs to do?
Yeah, like almost the equivalent. But
he's confident in what he can do until, you know, I keep saying now, I worry about what happens when he goes 3 games and has 4 targets per game. And then what happens? He seems like what we've seen over the summer is he seems like a more mature guy than he was last year late in the season. So, I mean, that's normal. I mean, if you're 23 and you're 25, you grow up some. So that's a plus on his end right now. But I just don't know. I think this is a huge season for him, and he knows it. Is he a 1 or a 2?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is he a 1 money guy or is he a 2 money guy? That's a big difference right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you're talking 30 X plus X million bucks per year to what, you know, what, 8 to 10 is a number 2. So it's a huge year for him. He knows that he can get paid right now. And I don't think they know, the Steelers know, if he is a 1 or 2 right now. I don't know if they view him, you know, internally. They're going to say out externally, we don't have 1, 2s, and 3s,
right,
or whatever. But I don't know if they view him as a legit number 1 quite yet. And he's had decent numbers over 2 years, but he hasn't had that breakout monster season. And I don't know. Right now, I don't see that happening right now. Do you? I don't see it happening right now.
I think he – and this was really rolling into my next question. I think he would benefit from a number 1 receiver, yeah, like an Ayuk. Like, if they did get Ayuk, I think that he would benefit more because – he would be open more. You know, he wouldn't draw the double teams. He would be on the backside. He would be, you know, more free to go make the plays that he needs to make. I don't know if he can handle that, but how would he mentally handle if they did somehow miraculously acquire and trade for Brandon Ayuk? Do you think he'd be okay with that?
Yeah, I think he'd be fine as long as the ball keeps coming his ways too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's all it's about with all receivers. I mean, you can bring anybody you want in, call them 1, 2, 3, or 4, but if I'm getting mine, if I can put up numbers like I did late in the season with Mason, I'm fine with that because I know I'm getting paid next year,
mm-hmm,
or the year after that by somebody. So that's the bottom line here. I mean, he wants to get paid, and as long as his numbers support him getting paid, he couldn't care less of what it does. You know, it could benefit him too if he obviously bring in a guy like Ayuk, because look what happened last year in San Francisco. Debo's the number 1, Ayuk's the number 2, but Ayuk turned into like the number 1 type of player because of what Debo was able to do on the other side. So maybe he is more fit to be that number 2 that puts up the the huge numbers. We just don't know. I don't think we'll find out either. Because I don't think, first of all, you're going to have a quarterback that throws enough to put him in those 100 target, 100 catch seasons, 1,000 yards, 10 touchdowns. I just don't think you have that scheme, and I don't think you have the protection around him to allow that to happen either.
Which one of these two guys would you put money on having a breakout season this year for the Pittsburgh Steelers? Najee Harris or Pat Freiermuth?
I would say Freiermuth. Freiermuth's been, he's been a star so far in camp, and we know the Arthur Smith loves the tight ends. We know, I don't think you look, break down the stats, how much Russell Wilson throws the ball over the middle, whatever. If he's open, he's going to throw it to him. But if he can stay healthy, I think you see what you're going to – I think Najee has a limited ceiling because with Jalen Warren there, I mean, he's not going to go off. He's not going to score 14 touchdowns. He's not going to have the opportunities to put those numbers up. I think Freiermuth has the chance to be able to put up some very good numbers. I mean, he's – his best numbers come as a rookie when he had a quarterback, but he got banged up a couple, and I don't think they really knew how to use him either. I think Connor Hayward's a wild card too.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a guy that can do a little bit of everything, and if you need a guy on third down to get you some big plays, and I don't think they knew how to use him last year at all. They didn't know how to use Calvin Austin last year at all either, but I think Freiermuth has the – if I'm putting money on the guy that has that breakout season or that – that huge leap, it's Freiermuth.
Would you pay him? Or are they going to pay
him? I would pay him. I would pay him right now. I mean, they have to. They don't have to pay him, but if you wait till he gets to free agency and he has that big year, but I don't think it would take a ton of money. I mean, he's had three. He had one decent year and two probably average years. That's not going to break the bank. Mm-mm. I would sign him, and I would sign him, you know, before the season starts, obviously. I think they would be leaning towards that way. Because what do you have? I mean, Darnell Washington is not – he is what he is.
Yeah.
He's not going to be catching your ball 60, 70 balls. I mean, all the rest of the guys, Rodney Williams, Michael Pruitt, Connor Hayward, I mean, that's your guy.
Yeah.
That's a second-round pick. You have a coordinator that likes to throw the ball to that guy, so I would definitely sign Freiermuth.
Who has the best opportunity to win a job in training camp or win a job, you know, like slightly outside of training camp this year? I have a little sleeper I want to run past Mark, but first, and we'll talk about that next. Fan Morning Show Twitter poll brought to you, excuse me, Fan Morning Show Twitter poll brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trust PJ.com. Dickerson, Cabali, Cal is here with you on the Fan Morning Show. Who has a really good opportunity to get a spot on this roster, whether it's a starting spot to you know, take over somebody's job or to really make the final 53-man roster? I have a little sleeper that I talked to a guy that played in the celebrity softball game with us 2 weeks ago.
Oh, you got inside info. This
little
is fair.
No, it wasn't. I wasn't like, you know, I wasn't asking anything, but I was just more like gauging mentality, engaging, you know, the person and seeing how confident a certain guy was. And I was like, you know what? And just, you know, sizing them up a little bit. They're like 5'11 and a half, almost 6 foot tall for their position. And I was like, this guy probably is going to have opportunities, bounce around a lot. Anthony Averett.
Yeah.
He played in our game, and I talked to him for a while. Really
nice guy.
Good guy.
I talked to him. He came in for a rookie minicamp tryout, and when they do that, they're going to side him.
Yes.
So he was a nice guy.
He had some injuries.
He had a bunch of injuries. That's why nobody wanted to touch him.
He's been around for about 5 years, right?
Yeah.
He got drafted out of Alabama to the Ravens in the fourth round, I believe. Yeah. Bounced around a little bit, and now he's in Pittsburgh. Really good head on the shoulders. Now, I know that doesn't mean anything about going out there and playing on Sundays, but – you know, for his size, and you know, I hope that, you know, things do make that easy transition for him, and he gets his opportunity because he is going to get an opportunity.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a position that they're thin at. Yeah. Like, who is going to be opposite of Joey Porter Jr.? I think he has a true opportunity to take over that spot if he has a good camp.
Yeah, I think he can play slot too, right?
Uh huh.
So I mean, just that he comes into play with guys like Beanie Bishop and Josiah Scott and Grayland Arnold, I believe his name is. I mean, not household names here, but he's definitely a guy that, like I said, he was banged up, and I talked to him in May, and he's like, man, people just wanted to stay away from me because they weren't sure about my injuries, but I'm good now. But that's why they brought him in. I mean, he's a veteran guy, and he's a guy to keep an eye on, absolutely. But you'll be able to see in training camp if he can hang with these guys. That's usually pretty evident of a veteran that nobody else wanted. Okay, did somebody make a mistake and didn't want him, or there's a reason why? We'll find that out quite quickly. But, I like that type of guy, that somebody has to emerge. I mean, I don't even know what's going to happen. Maybe none of those slot guys will emerge, and maybe they'll move around their safeties and bring down Deshaun Elliott into the box and put the KZ outside. I don't know what they're going to do at that position right now.
I was just about to ask you that. Could you see KZ being a slot safety?
I could see maybe being Elliott being more of a box safety, a heavy guy, big nickel type of guy, and have KZ in the back end. I don't think that KZ would be up there at all. But they're still going to need somebody in that spot to be able to run with somebody. I mean, Dante Scott is probably a huge – if he fells – ugh. You're in trouble.
Jackson?
What did I say? Dante? I always call him Dante Scott.
Yeah, yeah. So
who's Dante Jackson?
Who's Dante Scott?
I don't know. Dante Jackson. If he fails, then all of a sudden you're like, uh-oh. Hopefully Corey Trace can do something right now.
And him too.
He could, but there's nothing on tape that says that he can. So there's a lot of question marks right there. And not to even mention, I mean, they got some backup plans. There's guys out there. I mean, Patrick Peterson's a phone call away, right?
Right.
I mean, it's not like Patrick Peterson was terrible last year, and he even said he'll play slot. Mm-hmm. He liked it. Maybe if everybody fails, they give him a call end of August. I mean, there's options.
What about Peyton Wilson? Does he have a chance to secure a spot at some point in the season?
I don't think. I think they're just going to – he's going to be like Herbig last year.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe get – 8 snaps a game, if you're, I mean, barring injuries to anybody, have him really cut his teeth at the special teams. And that special teams all of a sudden looks very solid.
Now, Mattekevich, like you said earlier.
Mattekevich, now Wilson, and Connor Hayward plays a ton of that, and obviously Killebrew, and you can go down the line there. That looks like a upgrade as well when you got bringing a guy like Cam Johnson as a punter, and obviously Boswell has been pretty rock solid for his whole career, except for maybe 2 seasons. And Kuntz, he doesn't have a bad snap at all, ever.
Never.
So they look pretty solid there. I mean, the question is how they're going to deal with this kickoff. I don't think anybody knows.
I think that you approach it like it's an offensive play or a defensive play. I think that you look at it like, okay, like whatever yard line they're going to start on, and then the kickoffs are pushed up, right? The kickoff team's pushed up. I think you approach it like, all right, the ball's in the air. Once you catch it, like I would put an athletic guy back there, Justin Fields, I really would, and you could throw it laterally and just run, and you create lanes. Like I would create it like it was an offensive play for the kickoff return team.
Yeah, but I think the kicker, I think the days of the high booming hang time kicks are gone, and there's no use.
Right.
I mean, you try, but you have to have the ball land in between a certain yard line, or you get the ball at the 40. Or I feel bad for Danny Smith because he gets. I mean, I can't. It's my job to know the rules, and I don't even know the rules. Imagine teaching 40 kids, basically 1 or 2 years into the league, what these rules mean.
No.
It was hard for him to teach, hey, go run down there and catch and tackle somebody.
Especially in training
camp.
Those
guys don't pay attention.
Like, you're sitting there in meetings, you're like, man, I would never listen.
Yeah.
I'm tired.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I can't believe Danny Smith doesn't have these guys ready. No, he tells them, they just don't listen.
Right. No. I mean, it is going to be interesting. I just, like, the dynamics of it, I'm interested to see how, like, I mean, we're going to get our first view, next Thursday? That's the Hall of Fame game, right?
Who's playing Houston and
Kansas City?
I don't know.
Houston and somebody. I know Kansas City's in training camp. I don't know. Houston and somebody.
I know it's Houston. I hate the Hall of Fame game.
Why?
All that means is an extra week of training camp.
I mean, not for you.
Well, I could have been there.
You used to be at the Hall of Fame game?
Oh, I'm saying if the Steelers played.
Well, yeah. Well,
I hate it. I hate everything to do with it. I think I think the last time we were up there, it was the COVID, one of the COVID.
Was that whenever the Steelers played at 5?
Yeah, they packed us all in the elevator, and we're all like holding our breath, like, oh, jeez.
Oh, my God.
It was like 01, maybe, 21, maybe. Like, what's going on here?
Oh,
I think some people did get COVID that year.
I think I might go up because my former teammate's going to the Hall of Fame. I might go up and hang out with him.
Andre.
Yeah.
Oh, he should get you some prompt. And you know what? Then swoop over to SummerSlam.
I might do that. I might hit up our guy, Corey Graves.
There you go. It looks like a weekend to me.
Man,
you
that
can
does
bring my
sound
kids with you.
That, no, I'm not doing that. No. That does sound like, that's a good idea. It's in Cleveland, right?
Yes, it's in Cleveland, which is our way, if that.
Not even. Wow.
How about that? A weekend for you. A
nice little weekend to start the football season. And then all my weekends will be gone. Huh. Oh, okay. This might be interesting.
All right. Like get Corey Graves on the horn. Tell him to get you some good seats in the Cleveland Brown Stadium.
Yes.
Not none of these nosebleed stuff.
It's a good idea. Mark, are teams just kind of fighting an uphill battle? And are they fighting that uphill battle again this year? There's something that was circulating throughout the weekend that I want to get your thoughts on. And I feel like it's just an uphill battle for everybody but one team. Thorin Dickerson, Mark Caballi, Nicholas Harry Callis behind the glass. We have Mark for about 5 more minutes now. And then Jordy Mercer, I believe, will be joining the show at 9 a.m. And Dan Zangrilli at 9:30. The 50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Mark, I don't know if you saw the clip that was circulating throughout the weekend, but there are some teams that have already reported to training camp, the Ravens being one of them. Obviously, the Houston Texans, who are going to be playing in the Hall of Fame game, they're in training camp, and so are the Kansas City Chiefs. And there was a video that circulated throughout the weekend of Patrick Mahomes rolling out in the pocket in practice and throwing about a 60-yard bomb to Xavier Worthy, who was a draft pick of theirs. I mean, he's a 4-2 guy, very fast guy. My question to you and my statement is everybody just still in the uphill battle of trying to chase the Chiefs? Now that Patrick Mahomes has a deep threat, and like I know it's practice and it's early, but still, you know, they have Hollywood Brown, they have Worthy, and obviously they still have Kelce. Have they added to their madness, and are they going to just be back again in the Super Bowl? Like, I feel like every team is trying to construct their team around beating the Kansas City Chiefs, at least in the AFC. But is it just an uphill battle again? And will it be for this coming season to try to knock off the Chiefs? And will the Chiefs be back again?
Well, they do look like the favorite, right? They did. They have everything that they need right now. However, remember last year, we were viewing them very similar to that team too, as an unstoppable team, and they really struggled.
Yeah, they did.
I mean, that they were not a midway through the season, they're putting up 10 points. They weren't playing well at all, even throughout the playoffs. And obviously, they did win the Super Bowl, but they have to be the favorite. But to say they're just going to run through it here, I don't know, because the AFC is pretty loaded. I mean, you still got Lamar in Baltimore. You got the whole AFC North that's there. Miami, they just seem a three-headed monster down there now with Tyreek and Waddle and, I guess, Beckham and Tua and Mostert or whoever else is going to be there. A good offensive team, and even some teams in the West. I mean, the Colts should be better.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so I don't think that this might – they might have their best – team they've had in the past couple years, but I think there's more competition. I think there's better competition this year in the AFC than there has been in a while.
My sleeper team in the AFC this year, and just being realistic, is the Texans.
I think it's going to go the other way.
Really? You're the second person that said that.
I'm one of those guys that think they'll take a step back before they take the 2 steps forward. They were just ahead of schedule last year. I think they'll take that step backwards. I mean, it's pretty easy to take the step backwards now because everybody thinks they're going to win 13, 14 games.
Mm-hmm.
Take that step backwards this year, then they'll be ready maybe next year after that. But I would not be surprised if that team struggles to make the playoffs.
Wow, even adding Stephon Diggs and Joe Mixon?
Yes. It's just how it works in the NFL. I'm not even saying this team. It's just how that tends to work in the NFL where – You know, you remember the dream team of the Eagles of 10, 15 years ago? Yes. Things just don't seem to work out as expected. Everybody has that great offseason. Now, they've put themselves in great position, but they still got some offensive line issues, and obviously, but the good coaching staff. Is C.J. Stroud the guy?
I think so.
Or is that 1 year?
I don't know.
I mean, he looked great last year. That doesn't mean he'll look great this year.
Do you think the Chargers will take a step back or a step forward with Harbaugh?
Man, I just don't see the mix between Harbaugh and Herbert. I mean, you got one of the top 5 to 10 quarterbacks in the league. It's his ability, and a guy that doesn't want to throw the ball, just wants a power run game. And I don't know if they have the personnel to do that, but he wins everywhere he goes.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a little conflicted with the Chargers.
What about the Jets?
Man, the Jets never win. So I think that has every opportunity to blow up, right? Solemn, just mess. Aaron Rodgers just ready to blow up. So I would say no. Buffalo, I don't know.
That's
Buffalo.
Exactly.
What are you going to get from Buffalo? That's a team that doesn't look like that proverbial window is closing quite quickly, isn't it?
Yes, yes. Do you think he's overrated? That was a discussion.
Josh Allen?
Yes.
I think he's a good quarterback. I just don't think he has the enough talent around him right now.
I don't think he has the right head coach.
That too.
Yeah.
That too. I mean, they added they drafted a receiver, didn't they?
Yeah, the kid from Florida State.
Yeah, the crazy kid. I like him. He could help. I don't think they have an identity. They didn't run the ball. They could run the ball. So the AFC North is the one. I mean, I don't even know. You would assume that the Bengals, Steelers, and Ravens will be, you know, there. I just don't know what you're getting from the Browns.
It's so hit or miss, right?
I just don't know. I mean, I'm not a big Deshaun Watson. I was a huge Deshaun Watson fan. But when he took those year and a half off and all of his issues – he has nothing to impress me whatsoever to say that he can lead that team anywhere. So, but they have a chance to make, you know, they made the playoffs last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
With Joe Flacco.
Mm-hmm.
If you get any type of quarterback play from Watson, they're up there too. So it is not, I don't think it's anybody's who's going to walk away with in the AFC period. And that's including the Chiefs.
Well, we're here. We're here. It's just about football season, and I'm excited.
It is.
I'm excited. Thank you, Mark. Thank you for joining the show.
Alrighty, we'll see you around, I guess.
No, we'll probably talk to you next week. I mean, you'll be up there.
When you call. When you get me that ticket to SummerSlam.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'll send that. I'll Venmo me the money for it, actually.
All right.
See you, Mark. Thank you. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. It's the Chevy Summer Drive at Sun Chevrolet. Up to $7,500 in rebates, terms and conditions at sunchevy.com today. High of 82, low of 66, 45% chance of rain. Tomorrow, high of 85, low of 66 with overcast.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.